dealt with injustice. How do you respond when you have been dealt with injustice? Most everybody in this room has lived long enough to know that life isn't always fair, right? You probably, when you had children, that was probably a word banned from your home, right? And you might have said something like this: life wasn't meant to be fair.
Right.
And the joy is when you hear your children tell their children that now. Life wasn't meant to be fair. It's like, oh, that sounds familiar. And sometimes they need to go back and learn that. But anyway, but we're all dealt with injustice. We are all dealt with things in life that are things we didn't ask for, things we didn't want, things that made our life harder, right? And the way we respond to those things is going to determine whether we allow God to teach us or whether we're going to choose to be bitter. And I tell you, we know this, we've talked about it before, but bitterness, somebody said this, I like it, bitterness is the only poison, right, that destroys its own vessel. You can get a bottle, have the little skull and crossbones on it and all these things on it because it's poison and it's put in the glass bottle. But boy, you put bitterness in a human vessel and it absolutely eats it up and it destroys it. It's so bad that bitterness is able to destroy somebody coming and streaming from an event, from somebody else that's, you know, going to be dead and in the grave. And that bitterness is still ruining your... They're gone out of your life, and the bitterness is still ruining your life. And so we don't want that. It's totally counterproductive to our life. It hurts us, right? It destroys us. And God has a remedy for that. And so I want to look at that this morning. We're in Genesis 37. I don't know if I said that already. Genesis chapter 37. Over in Job 5, the Bible says this: yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We don't sit around fires, campfires as much just to like cook on like they did then. But we know enough what fires do, right? The sparks flying upward. You know, you build a fire outside or in your wood stove and you watch that. And how many sparks is it? Just one spark as the fire gets going and then it's over? I mean, no, it's just constantly sparks, sparks, sparks. Job said, that's man's life. Trouble is that. It's like sparks flying. They're constant, constant trouble, constant trouble. John 16:33, in the world, Jesus says, ye shall have tribulation. We've been looking at that on Wednesday nights. John 15:20, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. The very individual that we're going to look at today, eventually, later in his life, he's going to bring his father into Egypt. And when Joseph brings Jacob, his father, into Egypt and introduces him to Pharaoh, you know, dad likes to meet the king of the world, right? Introduces him to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's excited and he says, how old are you? And he says, I'm not quite to the years of my father. He says, my years have been few and full of trouble. Full of trouble. We can identify, can't we? Why? Well, you can thank Adam and Eve, right? We are born into a sin-cursed world and we are always going to face trouble. And trouble, and the big word that we don't like is the word injustice. We're all going to be served in our life with injustice. We are absolutely going to do that. So how does injustice come into our life? Well, we know it comes from the world, right? It comes from the world. I mean, there's all sorts of injustices that go on. You can expand that out if you're a child of God this morning. There are injustices that come unto our life. Daniel knew what it was to have injustice in his life when he found himself in that den of lions, right? The three Hebrew children, including right Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew what injustice was like when they wouldn't bow down to that image and they're thrown in the fiery furnace. I mean, they know, the God's people have known what injustice is like from the outside world, right? David in the 43rd Psalm, he said, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation, and deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. And in David's life at that time, the deceitful nation and the unjust man was his own nation, and was his own king, right? And his own father-in-law, Saul. And so there's injustice that comes into our life from the outside, from the world, right? We saw this. You look at the guy right now that's been in lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit because he refused to make a cake for some sodomite wedding. And that's what it is. Don't gloss it over and say it's a same-sex marriage. No, it's a sodomite wedding. It's sickening. And he said, no, I can't do that. And you know what? He's been in lawsuits ever since, even though he's won them and it's cost him a lot of money. Here comes another one. And they will. I mean, it is total injustice. It's totally unconstitutional. The only thing different between if he says, I don't want to make a cake, right, is the difference is words on a cake, right? Happy birthday, or, you know, congratulations, you know, Bill and Jack, right? It's words. If it said, congratulations, Bill and, you know, Broomhilda or whatever, right? It wouldn't have been a problem for him, right? So it's words, which comes down to what? Free speech. It's a word issue. I think we were talking about this the other day. Somebody doesn't like a track that we leave on the door. And I think you even had a, Brother Earl, you had an illustration of somebody you knew that said something. I think it was you or somebody. But it's like if you went up with the same piece of paper, but the words on it were, here is a gift certificate to McDonald's for, you know, a free ice cream cone, they wouldn't say, the sign says no soliciting, right? They'd go, oh, thank you. What's it come down to? Words. The words. Which constitutionally, it's free speech, right? We're allowed to do this, and so these are the outside world attacks us. Injustice comes into our life all the time, and it always will. Jesus warned us we are going to suffer injustice in our life based upon what we believe. King Herod, what did he do when the wise men? Many believe that group of men that came from the Parthian Empire that saw that star while they were in the east, saw the star, followed it, came to Herod, and he said, we've heard there's a king born, right? Oh, yeah, great, let me find him. And what did he do? He put out an edict to all the children 2 years old and under. Okay. Isn't it amazing he did the same thing as Pharaoh did to, as Pharaoh did to Herod's people a few thousand years earlier? Yeah, when Moses was born and he wiped out all the children 2 years of age and older. And it's like, you know what? An outside king did this to your own family, Herod, the Jews, and now you're going to do it to your own people? Oh, it's unbelievable. What am I saying? Injustice. Injustice is going to come. And even in our own nation, right, we're known for liberty. And liberty and freedom are two different things. The Constitution speaks of liberty, right? And what is liberty? Within a constitutional republic, liberty is freedom within the boundaries of law. Amen. Within the boundaries of law. You take away law and what you have is anarchy. And that's what essentially freedom is freedom without law, which is anarchy. That's why there's a difference between freedom and liberty. And we have liberty within our own constitution, in our own nation. But even within our own nation, there were injustices that came upon people, right? We look at slavery that the British brought with them, and that's another subject. And people say, oh, you Americans had slaves. I say, oh, no, the British brought them. Well, you know, we didn't have them. It was their fault. And but you look at slavery, you look what they did to the Irish before the African slaves came over and how they enslaved the Irish people and indentured servants. They didn't have money to come over. They said, well, sure, come. Actually, they even had less rights because they had zero money. They were coming with like zero, and they were really taking advantage of big time. You look at the slavery in all the other areas of the Ottoman Empire, and you look at the 3,000 black slave owners in the U.S. who had about 12,000 slaves among they had their own people. I mean, there's always injustice. There always has been, and there always will be, and it comes into us from the outside world. But the hardest injustice that we can have, though, is that injustice that comes from our own people, that comes within our own home. That's a tough one, right? Anybody? Oh, I don't want to bring this up. This might rub raw, open a wound or two. Anybody in here that said, I know my parents like my sibling better than me? I didn't say to raise your hand. Yeah. Injustice is in the home. And the parent would say, no, I didn't. No. Now, listen, there are some of your children that are easier to get along with than others, right? But it doesn't mean you, love one more than the other. The fellowship is just easier with one over another. Absolutely. And but some people grew up in that home. Miss Julie had a lot to contend with, and those only children, you know, they got it all, right? So no, but there's injustices within the home. Absolutely, we deal with those, and this is what's going on in with Joseph here, and the son of Jacob. There's a problem that comes up, a favoritism from Jacob that the brothers recognize, and they don't like it. They think it's an injustice on them what's going on, because they're older listen, we know this in that context of time. The eldest always, you know, were over the younger. I mean, there's a real order here within structure within the home. And Jacob, the dad, broke that order, especially in the children's eyes. And now Joseph has the coat of many colors, right? He has got a coat that says, I am a ruler. I mean, it wasn't just like he got a nicer coat than his brothers did. I mean, this coat here, it was really one of those that depicted rulership and leadership. And it was like, wait a minute, right? Joe, you're number 11 of 12. We're all older than you. You're nobody special, right? And then it's like, well, Dad gave him that. And boy, it brought up a lot of, you know, the brothers thought that was an injustice against them. And what we're going to see today is what Joseph does is done to him as an injustice. And we've heard this, haven't we? Hurting people hurt people. And you'll watch, there'll be a cycle. If we're not careful, there's a cycle. Injustice is done to us, so we'll turn around and do an injustice to somebody else. And we'll justify it. Justice, a lot of justifying going on. Right. And so, look at our text, Genesis 37, look at verse 1. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now that doesn't help. I remember one time, talking about an injustice. My sister thought what I did was a total injustice and a betrayal of her. And I was probably about 8 years old or so. And I told my mother, Jen went to the movies and saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There was two no-nos right there. Yeah, going to the movies and then at that time, and then the movie she saw. And Mom goes, I won't tell her you told me. I was like, okay. And so I'm trotting down the hallway later that day, and I happen to go by my sister's room, and I just happened to be looking over, and as I looked over, she went, Yeah, I went, just trotted right along. I was like, uh-oh. She knew. She knew I had to have told, right? And Joseph is coming and telling his dad, here's what your sons from your other wives are doing. I don't know if he said it that way. But he said, here's what your sons are doing. And you know, they didn't like him. They didn't like him. Now, if we see the father is saying, Jacob was saying, go find your brothers, let me know what's going on. And he just did what he's told, right? And it seemed like they didn't like that at all. Look at verse 26 through 28 of Genesis chapter 37. Hop over there. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hands be upon him. For he is our brother in our flesh, and his brethren were content. Well, how did we get to this point here? Well, here he is in his coat of many colors, his coat of authority, his coat of rulership over all of his older brothers. And then remember, he starts telling them, I had a dream, right? It wasn't the famous I have a dream, right? It was the original I had a dream. And he gave this dream, and even Jacob was like, well, who are you? Even his own dad's like, when he's saying, well, your sheaves bowed down to my sheaves, and you know, all of these things of rulership, and his own dad was like, I don't know, Bubba, I think you're going too far with this, right? I know I gave you that coat, but don't let it go to your head. And they didn't like that. And the poor Joseph, all he was doing was just telling them about the dream that he had, probably maybe a little perplexed, probably obviously they got it, right? That they were going to be bowing down to Joseph. They got from the dream, that's what that must have meant. They said that. And so, not only do you have the coat of many colors, not only, watch this. Oh, who is Joseph's mother? It's not Leah. Not all at once. It's Rachel. Who's Rachel? She was the one Jacob really wanted. She was the knockout, not the tender-eyed, right? She was the one that he fell in love with at sight. I mean, this was the one he worked 7 years for, really 14 years for. And you talk about injustice. You know what? He got given his younger sister that nobody else wanted, and the dad just wanted rid of her because, get her off the dole, and we'll just tell him later, oh, no, the oldest goes first. You know, you should have known this. Well, there's an injustice in Jacob's own life, and Jacob is going to have his own problems with injustice. But so listen, the family structure, this is the problem with polygamy. I'm telling you, there's so many problems with polygamy. God, number one, God never intended this. But even though there are some things in the Bible says that God winked at for a time, because there are bigger things that he was dealing with than dealing with polygamy at the time, right? We're dealing with the Messiah's got to come. The Messiah's coming through this line. And the Lord allowed some things, I believe, to illustrate how terrible of an idea they are. And now it's coming back, of course. Oh, I think it's wonderful. And but the inner fighting, the contention. And so the brothers, not only do they know that Joseph is the wife that their dad really wanted and really loved, and that they're of Leah or the handmaids, right? Not the real. But then he's got the coat of many colors. Now he's having these dreams that he's going to be above everybody else. And man, they are not liking it, right? Injustice in their mind. This is an injustice according to the cultural norms and order of family. The youngest should not be talking like this, right? And so there's some contention there. And definitely it was a problem for them. So what happened here? What are the roots of injustice? What are they? What are the motives, the driving forces behind the roots of injustice? Well, number one, it's unfair treatment, right? Well, that just isn't fair. That's not fair. Anybody said that when you were a kid? Anybody said that as an adult? Anybody have been to work and some edict comes down from the top and you're like, well, that's not fair. What are they doing that for, right? And there's a little boy, he had a pretty rough day at school. He'd been getting picked on all day and picked on at the playground. The teacher thought he was the actual instigator of it all. And so she sent him home with some extra homework. And so he's kind of not feeling real good about it. And he goes home with his extra homework. He gets home and his mother has fixed supper and tells him to get ready for supper. And he finds out she has fixed peas. He doesn't like peas, so not only does he have extra homework, he has to eat peas, because what it means, if they're on the plate, you're going to have to eat them. So he's got to eat peas for supper, and finally, he's just like, that's not fair, right? And his dad says, that's right, son, it's not fair. Life isn't fair. And Billy kind of raised his eyebrows, and he said, I know the world isn't fair, I just wish that once in a while it was unfair. It wasn't unfair in my favor. Right? Every once in a while, we don't mind if life is unfair. Sometimes we just want it, in our favor once in a while. Right? And so, we can't always see into somebody's past. We can't always see all the injustices in life that they have been through and that they have lived through. Right? You don't know all of the injustices in my life. I don't know all of the injustices in your life. But we've all had them, right? And we can see how life can definitely we can see how unfair actions can stem from the unfair actions that happen to us. We've got to be careful with that, right? And this is the thrust of the lesson today. And it's breaking the cycle of injustice. Joseph is actually going to be the one to break the cycle in his family. Right. And so, think about Joseph and his brothers. Here in chapter 37, his brothers are so irritated at him. They think there's such injustice on them, and it's so bad of an injustice that they've got to get rid of him now. Remember, he came to check on them, and they said, "Oh, here comes the dreamer." You know, here he comes. All right, they're ready for him. And they concoct this plan of, you know, let's kill him. And it's like, no, we can't do that. Okay, fine, let's sell him. We know how it all goes, right? And here we see a little bit of the injustice that they had brought about, the injustice they served upon their own brother. We're talking about these injustices within our own family. They come up, don't they? And they come up within our own homes. And so there is the reality of justice. There are the roots of injustice. Unfair treatment, right? This was Joseph's brother's problem. They just didn't think they were treated fairly. And in the passage, you know, it doesn't say that Jacob loved Joseph the most. Right? With what Jacob has done for Joseph, what he's saying is, I love Joseph more than all of my sons put together. I mean, he's up here. And this is what it looks like, right? And they, no doubt, they sensed that favoritism. No doubt they sensed the unfairness and the injustice in their life. And so here it is, they took the action of selling him. And like I said earlier, you know, the unfair treatment, if we're not careful, will breed that in our own life to do to somebody else. The cycle of injustice. Right? And sometimes we're not even aware we're doing it. Sometimes we're not even aware of it. But it's going on here in his life. Right? There's this unfair treatment, and now they thought they were treated unfairly, and now they're going to take care of Joseph and treat him unfairly and sell him off. You know, the other reason that these things come into our life of the injustices, watch, and we respond incorrectly, is not just because of the unfair treatment, but because of we are not aware of God's purpose and plan in our life through the things that we're going through. How often have you got through a trial and go, "Oh yeah, I didn't see that. Right. Now I see what the Lord was doing." We get upset, we get irritated, right? We don't say it's not fair, but we feel like it. Maybe somebody hasn't treated us well. Maybe there's been some other type of injustice in our life. And a lot of times, the injustice, even that comes towards us, is perpetuated by those who are unaware of God's plan and purpose in our lives, right? They're responding to something. Maybe there's jealousy there. Maybe there's God's doing something in somebody else's life, and somebody looks at that as a threat to them, and they respond with an injustice, and they're not even aware of what God's trying to do in somebody's life and rejoice in it. But the thing is, for us personally, though, regardless of that, we want to try to be aware when we don't understand what's going on. We need to be able to step back and go, "Well, I don't know what God's doing here. Maybe God's doing something here. Maybe I shouldn't be so quick to be irritated. Maybe God's working, right? Maybe God's doing something." And so a lot of the problem comes because of an unawareness of God's plan. Look at Genesis 25 and verse 23. You can go back to this. At the birth of Jacob and Esau, talking about God's plan. Genesis 25. What does it say there? Genesis 25. Look at it. Verse 23. "And the Lord said unto her," right, "unto Rachel, Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So God already told Rebekah, this is what's happening. You have the fighting that's going on with you is the fighting of two nations. And the fighting, watch the fighting, because the out of order, the things are out of cultural order that God is going to use. And the one that should be in the cultural order doesn't like it. Same with Joseph and his brothers. Right? Now this is Jacob's. Jacob is the one who's the younger one. And we know what happened there. Esau was born first. Jacob was born second. God said the younger is going to serve the elder. And as the boys grew up, what happened? Esau became close to his dad. He was a hunter. He was out hunting and bringing food. And he's like, that's a man's man. I mean, what dad wants a boy that stays in the kitchen and sews all day long? That's odd. But, you know, and so you have one that is really outdoorsy, and dad's like, yeah, that's my boy. Yeah. And they get close, but you know, Jacob stays around the house and gets close to mom. And there's some friction that it causes there. And so Esau ends up growing up close to Isaac. Jacob is growing up close to Rebekah, his mother. And not only this, there is a promise still underlying this whole event. Okay. Let me say it this way. Not a promise necessarily, but in God's foreknowledge, He knew what was going to happen here. He knew who Esau was going to be. He knew who Jacob was going to be. And God determined that the lineage of Jesus Christ was going to continue from Abraham to Isaac, and it was going to continue to Jacob and not Esau. Why not Esau? Well, did you see which direction Esau went? You have the Edomites. Do you remember the choice of wives of Esau? The Bible says was the word was a weariness to the soul of Jacob and of Isaac and Rebekah. Yeah. And he went pagan. And God knew he was going to do that. Then watch this. I love how God goes outside of our cultural norms. He doesn't care if you're the firstborn, right? God looks on the heart. And God knew where Jacob was going to. No, he had to work with Jacob. Man, he was rough. And he had to work with Jacob and allow some things in his life. But he was eventually going to use them. But when Rebekah, I think, realized that God wasn't exalting Jacob after her schedule, right? She was promised. She was given the insight that the younger was going to serve the elder. So when it came time that Isaac was dying, they thought, and they were going to have the birthright the inheritance given out, Rebekah goes, oh no. I mean, Esau and Isaac are really close, not Jacob. Oh no. He's the eldest. And Isaac says, okay, I'm going to give out the birthright now. Go make me something really yummy to eat, right? Go out and kill something and bring me some deer sausage, all right? And Rebekah gets involved. And she connives this whole plan of deception and goes along goes along with it, right, and deceives his father to get the birthright, when I believe if she just left it alone, God still would have taken care of it. Yeah. She created a real mess. She really did. And so here it is, this whole problem that's going on here. And the end result was that Jacob did receive the blessing. Yes, he did. But Esau felt pretty mistreated. He felt like he had an injustice. So what did he do? He had to leave. Jacob had to leave before he got killed. So here's an injustice on him now. Right? And so it just it's perpetuating through the whole family. The injustice on Esau. The injustice on Jacob. Now Jacob seen it in his own family. His injustice against his own sons towards Joseph. And now the son's injustice against Joseph, right? And against what he is. And now here we have Joseph ends up in Egypt under this guy named Potiphar. You know, when we are on the receiving end of injustice, no matter no matter where it comes from and what kind of the injustice that we experience, we can't allow it from keeping us from doing the will of God in our life. Do you know some people allow injustices in their life to keep them from serving God? Right. How many are aware here today that injustices come through church family? Right. Things come from your brothers and sisters that are part of the same body that you're a part of. And you know what happens sometimes if we're not careful? And you've seen it. Well, I can't believe they said that to me. I can't believe they did that. And all of a sudden, they're not coming to church. They're not coming to visitation. They're not coming to men's prayer meetings. They're not coming to VBS. They're not coming to outdoor revival. They're not coming to anything. What happened? Well, they allowed some injustice to get them out of the will of God. Wait, hold on. Don't do something wrong. Don't allow somebody's wrong to cause you to do something wrong. That's weird, actually. That makes no sense, right? And what if you're not careful, you'll respond to these cases as being unaware of what God's plan is in all of this. God has allowed these things, and so we got to be careful not to. When we are on the receiving end of injustice, allow us to respond incorrectly. Bitterness is a choice. Bitterness is a choice. You know how you escape that cycle of injustice? Right? Your dad was done wrong, so your dad did you wrong, and now you're going to do somebody else wrong, and it just continues on down and down and down, right? Nobody does this to me. Nobody, you know, and you end up, finally you're going to do it to somebody else. You know how you break the cycle of injustice? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Bitterness is a choice. And we get to choose to forgive. If it is commanded by God, it is able for us to do. I can do all things. Do we believe this? We love this verse, don't we? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I mean, we put it over our doors and we have it in our dining rooms with the frilly flowers on it and all these pretty things. And I can do all things, you know, except forgive. Right? Well, if it's command, He's enabled us to do it. Right? And so, What did Joseph do when he went down to Egypt? Huh? He submitted, yeah. He did submit, absolutely. Watch, he didn't continue the cycle of injustice. Know what he realized? Right. He was aware that this was God's plan. He didn't like, I didn't say he liked it. Remember when we preached through Genesis about 7 years ago, and you see the naming of his sons, and you even see the sense of loss and bitterness in the naming of his two sons even? He didn't want to... We've heard it, right? Oh, well, he was second in command. Really, he was like number one over all of Egypt. I mean, he was great. He didn't want to be great. He wanted to be home. He wanted to be with his dad. He wanted to be with his brothers. He wanted to live in this promised land that was given to his great-great-grandfather. He wanted it, right? So I'm not saying he liked it, but he chose obviously not to be bitter and to return the injustice that was dealt to him. Watch, Joseph stopped the cycle. And he stopped it by how? By number one, recognizing his responsibility. We have a response. Listen, when injustice comes, when it comes into our life, it is going to elicit, is going to require a response. And the way we respond to injustice is going to determine whether the cycle of injustice continues or whether it stops with us. Yeah. So here's our two options. Option number A is a natural response. What's the natural response? React in the flesh. Right. Instead of believing that God can use what He brought into our life for His glory and for our good, we respond in the flesh and we're going to get even. Right? We all like that. Have you ever found out that vengeance and getting back, it just never has the sweetness at the end that it seems like it should at the beginning? It's like, well, that didn't... That was rather underwhelming, right? So we can either go to our natural response or we can respond with a supernatural response. What's that? Well, it's responding in the Spirit. It's responding as a Spirit-filled child of God. It's responding like Jesus. Yeah. Don't weep for me, right? Remember on the cross, the seven saints on the cross, and finally, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Right? No, that Jesus was responding not in vengeance and perpetuating. You talk about injustice. How do you even match? How do you even compare yourselves with the injustice of God? By His own creation, that He could have just... the entire universe would have been gone. And He could have just happily started over somewhere else. Right? And we'll try it over here. No big deal. Yeah. And it's not how He responded. So we have the choice to either respond in the flesh or respond in the Spirit. 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth rightly. You see, when injustice comes into your life, you commit yourself, you submit yourself to God who judges righteously. I've said this before in prayer. When something maybe has come into life, it seems like an injustice comes into life. Maybe somebody said something to you, said something about you. Maybe something was going around that maybe wasn't true. And I've told the Lord this. I've came to a conclusion several times of this. And I've said, well, Father, if they're right, I deserve it. If they're wrong, You'll vindicate me.
Amen.
And you know what you do? You go on without bitterness. You drop it. What do you do? What are you doing when you do that? Well, you are committing it to God who always judges righteously. The Bible says, remember, will not the judge of all the earth do right? He will. I mean, where's a better place that I can't judge rightly? And if it's left to me, I'll mess it up. So what better place to do when injustice comes into your life to give it to God and say, you judge this. If I'm wrong, well, I deserve it. If I'm right, then I'll trust you, your vengeance, and you'll vindicate me one of these days. And I trust that. This is what this is how Joseph lived. This is exactly how it lived. And this is how we ought to live. We recognize our responsibility. Joseph's brothers had excused their unjust treatment because they themselves were treated unjustly, absolutely. But if Joseph had followed this reasoning, he would have wiped out all of his brothers when they showed up at Egypt for food. So what did he do? He stopped the cycle of injustice. You know what he did? Let me say it this way. He got over it. He got over it. You know what you need to do with some things in your life? You just need to get over it, man. Well, that's kind of harsh. It's that easy. Get over it. And go on. Give it to God. Stop thinking about it. Stop dwelling on it. Stop bringing it up in your mind. It's not God bringing it up. Yeah. It's definitely not. You just need to give it over to Him and trust Him. And go on and get some joy back in your life and stop the cycle. Stop it. Yeah. And this is exactly what he did. Joseph recognized his responsibility. Well, I have my rights. Don't we hate that saying, I have my rights? No, we have our responsibilities. Joseph saw his responsibilities. What's our responsibility as a child of God? To live like Jesus. To live like Jesus. That's our responsibility. Secondly, he refused to get even. He recognized his responsibility. That's what we need to do. We need to recognize our responsibility when injustice comes in our life. We need to refuse to get even when injustice comes into our life. He refused to do that. Thirdly, he noticed that God had a master plan. Remember his words to his brother at the end there? You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. He saw God's big plan. He recognized it. You know what the indictment is? When we don't see the plan of God, when we can't step back and see some things, it's usually an indication that we're not walking in the Spirit and we're walking in the flesh. You ever known people that have discernment and they're somewhat optimistic and they're like, well, you know, Lord's doing something. Well, they see it. They don't see all of it. They see glimpses of it, though. And then other people are just like, oh, it's terrible. And, you know, it's just always down. Why? They're walking in the flesh. You got to walk in the Spirit. And then finally, not only do we need to see our responsibility, not only do we need to refuse to get even, not only do we need to remember that God has a master plan, finally, we have to rely on God's faithfulness. Right. God has a plan. God is faithful. Listen, everything that God allows into our life is not only for His glory. It could end there and we should be fine with that. But it's also for our good. Yeah, it's for our good. Why? Well, it's a part of what He's doing, which is making us like our older brother. He's making us like Jesus. And how does that happen? Well, trials and tribulations and injustice, fiery trials, a refining process, yeah, getting out the junk and making us like Christ. And so you have a choice today. We all have a choice. Injustices are going to come into our life. And we can choose today whether we're going to walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. We can choose today whether we're going to forgive or live in bitterness. We can choose today, right, whether we are going to allow the greater plan in it all. And we have a choice today whether we're just going to get over it or not. Get over it. And it's up to us. We're going to choose whether we're going to stop the cycle or we're going to continue it. Let's be the ones that end it. Let's stop the cycle of injustice and acknowledge what Lord has allowed into our life. He's allowed it for a purpose. Let's not carry that on. And you know what you'll find out? You see what God did through Joseph, one young guy, what God did through Joseph in preserving an entire lineage so that the Messiah could be born. That's pretty huge.
Amen.
Yeah, that's pretty huge. God wants to use every one of us in here in a mighty and a big way. And we need to get over some things so that He can do that. Father, thank You. Lord, we'd never want to minimize the tragedy and the trials that have come into people's lives and all of our lives. And some have been just staggering. We couldn't even imagine the weight of injustice that some people have lived through. But either Your word is true or it's not. Lord, if it's true that even it means that even those with the greatest injustices that anybody has ever experienced, even they can get victory over it. They can stop the cycle of it. They can get over it and they can get past it and live in victory and choose not to be bitter and choose to live in forgiveness. Would You help us in that today? That we would be the end of the cycle, that we would be the ones that would walk in the Spirit and accept what You've allowed into our life is for our good and Your glory, that You can make us like Christ. And we'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.